Hello, Madison and North Florida. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We're so glad to be with you today. If you're listening by computer, we're glad that you have joined us anywhere in the United States, anywhere on this planet. Praise God. Amen. We're so glad that you have tuned in today. We're going to have a wonderful time of learning around the Word of God today about one of the great subjects of the Bible, the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. The second coming of Jesus, as someone has so aptly stated to help understand it, is one advent consisting of two events. The coming of Christ for His church that we commonly call the rapture, and the coming of Christ to rule and to reign upon the earth that is known as simply the second coming. So we just want you to stay tuned today and pray that we can get some insight. There is some controversy, as there always is on some of these great subjects, but we just pray that God's Word will become extremely clear and easy to understand today as we look at the ancient Jewish wedding and how the coming of the Lord is going to follow that pattern. Once we understand that pattern, and by the way, the ancient wedding custom wasn't ancient. When Jesus was speaking to His contemporaries in His day upon the earth, it was the way all weddings were conducted. We want to discover that is ancient to us, but was contemporary to them, because it gives us the pattern that the coming of the Lord is going to follow. And it is an exciting study today. Amen. So stay tuned for a little while as we talk about the mystery of marriage and the coming of the Messiah. I want to begin by telling you that the Bible is a love story. It's a love story from the beginning and to the end, and all in between. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, John 3:16 declares, that whosoever would believe upon Him would not perish, but that all would have eternal life. Make no mistake about it today, dear friend. God wants to be reconciled unto fallen man. He desires to save us, not to judge us. The reason judgment is coming is because of this salvation rejected, or as the Scripture declares, neglected. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation as this? And the things we're examining, talking about right now, is just how wonderful and powerful the love of God is that is reaching out. The Bible actually says that God is long-suffering, not willing that any perish, but that all might have eternal life. That's you and me today, friend, that He's talking about. So don't miss this broadcast. I will announce before we get into it that if you would like to come to our website, just type in THCOG. That's a simple way to do that. Those letters stand for the Holy Church of God, and it will take you, if you Google it, it will take you to our homepage. And my name is Pastor Robert Venable, V is in Victor, E-N-A-B-L-E. And we now have podcasts available to you to download to any MP3 device. It's very user-friendly, and many people have already signed up. Over 100 people are downloading, and we're grateful for you. In the first month, I believe, almost 100 people signed up. And this is well into our second month, and we just pray that more and more of you will be blessed by the Word of God. That's our intention. We have no ulterior motive but to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world and to challenge everyone that is a Christian to be living in the light of the soon coming of Jesus Christ, living in holy anticipation of that great event that's just about to happen. Amen. Well, if you'd like to visit us, be sure and come. There's no strings attached, no follow-up. We'd just be glad for you to come and listen to anything that you feel that would help you. There are sermons that go back down through the years, and sermons that are current and recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus. We've been talking last week. We began a new subject, the mystery of marriage and the coming of Messiah. It's amazing. In the Old Testament, there was wonderful expressions of God's love to His covenant people. And it was in terms of love and marriage, and it was in terms of a husband and a wife. The whole nation of Israel is referred to as a wife and God as the husband. And it's God has always wanted to walk in a love covenant relationship, love that commits. And that's the kind of love that God loves us with. He loves us in a covenant relationship of that love. It is very powerful and very strong. It's very intimate and very warm. So we want to talk about that today in the new covenant. Praise God. And we begin to see the parallels between the covenant of marriage in Jesus' day to the references to His coming for His bride, the church. And I just want to review them very quickly today. In the Jewish wedding, it began with the betrothal. Both the girl's father and the boy's father would choose and arrange for the betrothal. And the messianic parallel is very clear. The Holy Spirit chooses the bride and brings people to God through repentance. John 17:24. I'm going to read that again. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. Amen. Jesus is preparing heaven according to the Scripture. Again, in John 14:1-3, He said, I go to prepare a place for you. My Father's house has many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Actually, in the Father's house, a room was generally and usually built onto that house of where the bride and groom would consummate the wedding and where they would live until they inherited all that the Father had. Amen. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare that place at My Father's house for you. And you meaning the church, the blood-bought children of the Most High God. Praise God. Amen. The betrothal has been made. Praise the Lord. Paul, when he preached, had this betrothal in mind, because he said in Scripture, I've espoused you by the gospel unto one husband, that I may present you unto Jesus Christ, a chaste virgin. Praise the Lord. Amen. The betrothal was made, and then a price was paid. A dowry was paid by the groom's father for the bride's hand in marriage. The messianic parallel, Messiah gave His life as a purchase to redeem us. God gave us His only begotten Son. And the greatest bride price of all was paid at Mount Calvary. And then the son left until the day of the wedding, and he went back to the father's house. The Jewish wedding, the bridegroom departed, going to his father's house to prepare a bridal chamber. The messianic parallel, in Yeshua's own words, I go now to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will return and take you unto Myself. And then the next step was the return of the bridegroom for the bride. In the Jewish wedding, when the father gave the okay, the son would immediately come for the bride. In the messianic parallel, Jesus promised to come back for us and take us away with Him, that we should be with Him forever where He is. And therefore, we should live in a state of constant readiness. And the next stage in the Jewish wedding was the honeymoon. The groom would take his bride to the bridal chamber that had been prepared, where they were shut in for 7 days. And in the messianic parallel, believers are with their Lord in heaven 7 years, while the horrible judgments are brought upon the earth, according to Daniel 9:27 and Revelation 3:10. I want to read Revelation 3:10, a promise to us who are redeemed. Jesus said, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." You know, the Bible said that God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus himself said of his coming, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man cometh." Before judgment fell, one righteous man and his family was locked in an ark, and God shut to the door that the waters of judgment did not touch them, that they would not suffer with the wicked. Same thing in Lot's day. "As it was in the days of Lot," Christ taught, "so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man cometh." Amen. And angels were sent to tell Lot to get out of the city. And Lot left with his wife and his daughters, and he got down in a valley between near the city, and he was undecided which way to go. And the angel said, "Lot, make your mind up and get moving, for I can do nothing until you are out of the city." You see, God will not judge the righteous with the wicked in that time of tribulation, that time called the day of Jacob's trouble, the day of the Lord when his wrath is poured out. We are not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. And I believe it's going to follow this wedding pattern that we're looking at. 7 days locked in that room while the marriage is consummated, and we are with the Lord in heaven. I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, simply because when the tribulation begins in terms of the judgments upon the earth, it is called the wrath of God. Scriptures declare, "I saw the great men, the bond men, the free men, the rich man, the poor man, cry unto the mountains to fall upon us and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." And I know there's some controversy here. I'm not trying to be controversial, but I'm telling you, there's two views. One thing is certain. Jesus loves us, and he loves us as a bridegroom does the bride, and we are referred to in that kind of vernacular, that kind of speech in the New Testament, because this is about intimacy, this is about love, this is about God longing for us to be with him, and us longing to be with him as well. Then there's the wedding supper. After the consummation of the wedding, after 7 days, the bride is presented, unveiled as the wife of the groom forever. In the Jewish wedding, marriage supper, wedding feast, when the bride and groom emerged from the bridal chamber at the end of 7 days, it marked the consummation, and this marriage supper was to celebrate it. The wedding feast of the Lamb is talked about in Scripture in Revelation 19 and verse 7 through 9. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, we're on our way to a royal wedding. We've been given a royal invitation. God has provided a royal robe called the robe of righteousness, His own righteousness. Praise God. And we're going to go to a royal banquet called the marriage supper of the Lamb. I believe the coming of the Lord is so very near that we should be living today as Christians in holy anticipation. The great wedding is about to take place. The great marriage supper is being made ready. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to read a verse of Scripture in that light from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. Listen to it carefully. It said, "And Jesus answered and spake," with verse 1, we're going to read quite a bit, maybe to verse 14. "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who made a marriage." There's that intimacy, this relationship of groom and bride, that the Father is setting this up. "A certain king made a marriage for his son, and he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and treated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man not having on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And the king said to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." I'm going to make some statements in light of what I just read. Today, the gospel of Jesus Christ is an invitation to a royal wedding. To be saved doesn't just mean having your sins forgiven so you can go to heaven. It means reconciliation with God. And reconciliation with God means that we are brought into His royal family, accepted in the Beloved, and clothed with His own righteousness. The Bible portrays the relationship between God and His people with a staggering array of images. God is the potter, and we are the clay. Christ is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. I guess we're moving up here from dirt to animal. Listen, Christ is the master, and we are His servants. But here we can come into the house, even if, as John Eldridge comments, and I quote, we have to wipe our feet and watch our manners and not talk too much. Most Christians, he says, never get beyond this point, but from here the Bible leads us on a swift and sublime ascent. We are the children of God, and God is our heavenly Father. Or as Jesus said, you are my friends in John 15, friends of God. It just can't get any better than that. But there are a number of passages, and we've taught along this line in the past, but I want to review it again in both the Old and New Testament, that take our relationship with God to a level of loving intimacy that is absolutely astounding. We are God's wife, Christ's bride. Isaiah declares, as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your God marry you, and as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so shall God rejoice over you. I'm going to read that in its full context, Isaiah 62, verse 1 through 5. God says, For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. I'm sure you've all heard that great song, if you're Christian for very long, Beulah land, I'm longing for you. You'll understand that meaning of Beulah after this scripture is explained. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. This term, Hephzibah, means my delight is in her. And Beulah simply means married. Never again will you be called the forsaken city, the desolate land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight, and the bride of God, for the Lord delights in you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I told you this is mushy stuff. This is a love story, friend. This is a God who wants intimacy with His people, who is deeply in love with His covenant people. And He loves fallen man enough to call us all to the marriage supper, to provide for us a wedding garment. Praise the Lord. I understand in some of the ancient customs that to make sure everyone that came could be dressed appropriately, that the bridegroom, the father of the bridegroom in that custom would send garments to the people, and all they had to do is take his provision and put on that wedding garment. You know, when we repent of our sins, we come to God with deep sorrow over our sins, and we're in contrition for sinning against Him, and we repent and we ask Christ into our heart as our personal Savior that we might be forgiven. God, the Heavenly Father, provides for us a wedding garment. Praise the Lord. He provides nothing less than His own righteousness. Remember we read that it was granted to her, the bride, that she be clothed with fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. I'm going to tell you, our righteousness, our attempt at it at our best, the Scripture says, is as a filthy rag compared to the holiness that God requires. So what does God do to solve this problem, this dilemma we're in? We've been saved, but how can we be worthy enough to come behind the veil to the presence of a holy God, be invited into the holy city, and let's take it another step to not just live in the holy city in the presence of a holy God, but that spiritually He can come and live within us. He has to make a provision for us, and that provision is nothing less than the gift of righteousness. You know what Paul said? He said, being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is by the law, which no man could actually perfect or keep. Amen. But the righteousness which is of God by Jesus Christ. God, friend, provides our forgiveness, and He sets us right with Himself. He accepts us in the Beloved. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're busily trying to weave your own righteous robe so that you're not going to be able to meet God's holy standard, but if you accept something that the Bible calls the gift of righteousness when you're saved, Hallelujah. Then you will be clothed with God's own righteousness. And it guards our heart, amen, as a breastplate. It's a piece of the spiritual armor that we take to overcome the adversary, the accuser of the brethren. And our own conscience becomes adversarial because we can never, ever be sinlessly perfect, but we can be perfectly acceptable to God because of the robe of righteousness that is granted to us by gift when we receive Christ as our personal Savior. Amen. Friend of mine, my life changed when Jesus came in, and I live every day for the Lord. But I have faults and failures. I cannot claim, nor should I, sinless perfection. But something I can and I do claim, and that is that I have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood has cleansed me, and God has accepted me because of that cleansing in the Beloved. And when I go to God in prayer, I ask Him to forgive my trespasses, as I forgive those who trespass against me. Forgive my debts. And the Bible said if we say we have no sin, in 1 John we lie and do not the truth. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful, God is just, to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all iniquity and all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. I plan to stand before God in the wedding garment that He has provided for me through the death of His Son, the shed blood of His Son and my Savior, Jesus Christ. I expect to be able to pull my chair up to the table at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise God as we celebrate salvation. And I'm going to tell you, usually these marriage celebrations are over and we get down into the humdrum day-to-day grind of facing the challenges of life. And sometimes our intimacy with one another can suffer as the pressures of family and finances are brought to bear. It's not going to be that way when we get to heaven. The celebration that begins at the marriage supper is never gonna stop. We will not have a day in that place without a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving as we share eternity with our loved ones that have preceded us. Amen. Our friends and neighbors that have went there with us, praise God, that know Jesus. Amen. And when we live in that intimacy with Him and with each other forever, age without end, we're going to celebrate salvation throughout all eternity. Joy is going to be renewed day by day by day by day, century after century, eon after eon. Hallelujah. It's a party that's never going to stop. Glory be to God. And we'll have bodies that can stand it when we get there. Glorified, never to die again. Ah, friend, I don't know about you. I get so excited when I read what the Scriptures declare because I know God watches over His Word to perform these things. I'm looking for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to challenge you today, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I pray today that you'll receive the gift of salvation, and that through that gift you'll look within that box called salvation. There's another gift. It's called the gift of righteousness, and you'll realize that you're not just a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner, you have been saved by grace, but now you're a son, you're a daughter of the living God, and together we make up the bride of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, friend, I love you today. Why don't you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus Christ.